Heavenly Father, your words are not the quotations that tickle our fancy. Your word is the authoritative creation of God's work in us. It is that same word you uttered of old. And the first part of it, let there be light. That was God showing up in the frame, in the picture. God, show up, we pray, through the reading of your word, through your illumination, through your Holy Spirit. And may we have a greater understanding of your word in our lives. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The word spoken. I'm going to ask Dave to put the scripture up here. Now, before we vocally read it, I just want you all to read it kind of to yourselves, like you do when you read the Bible, okay? Just read through it. Don't speak it, just read it. Okay, now, everybody's read it? Now let's vocally read it. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Does that feel any different as opposed to just reading it with your eyes and actually vocally speaking it? There's a big difference. Absolutely. Why? God knows his word, right? He doesn't need us to speak it forward. But there's somebody else who needs to hear it beside us. And that's the devil. He hates the word of God. You know that, right? I mean, that really upsets him. Gets his day off really bad. Exactly. Revelation 1:3. John the Apostle, the closest human on that discipleship to our Lord and Savior, is given a wonderful revelation. Now everybody thinks, isn't it fabulous what God gave him? How would you like to be boiled in oil? Raise your hand. How would you like to be exiled to Patmos? Of course, maybe if you've been listening to people all day, you're happy to be alone, I don't know. But nonetheless, the word spoken, there's a big difference when it is verbalized. There really is. That's what this is talking about. They were to go into the churches and verbally read the word of God. You remember in the days of Ezra, they came in to hear the word, the law spoken. Why? Because of this truth is that what you see, what you read, and what you hear, and what you say has more fullness in your life than if you do any of those independently. When they're done together, they have the power of all the senses to really make it alive in your life. Some time ago, it's probably been a year and a half, I don't remember, but it's in my lifetime anyway, Darlene was sharing something in her personal life about this subject, and I've asked her to come up and share it so you can hear it from her lips. How many love our treasurer?
I've told this story to, or this experience, it's not a story, but I've told this experience to some of you already, but most of you know that I have depression, and I'm on medication for it. This is my thorn, I guess, to bear. But every once in a while, Satan will use that against me and put thoughts in my head that I can't get rid of. And I was driving home from work one day thinking, you know, I was going to have to go to the doctor and get my medications increased because I couldn't get these thoughts out of my head that I was worthless. Nobody loved me. My husband and my daughter would be better off if I wasn't here. Why don't I just, you know, get in the car and drive? Or worse yet, why don't you just kill yourself? And I'm not suicidal. I have no desire to die. Yes, I would very much like to go home, but that's not the point. And I called my sister, who was very close to me, and was talking to her about it. You know, I was feeling really, really bad. And I'm like, I know it's not true. I know my husband loves me. I know my daughter loves me. I know that everybody in the church loves me, and I know God loves me. But I can't get these thoughts to shut up. And I know it's Satan, and he won't shut up. And she said, have you told Satan to get out of your head? And I'm like, well, I say that all the time. She goes, no, I don't mean verbally. I mean, I'm not in your head. Say it out loud. And I'm like, out loud? She goes, well, yeah, you're in the car by yourself. Nobody's going to hear you anyway except him. I'm like, okay. You know, it's like, God, this is embarrassing. So I got off the phone with her, and I'm thinking, and I'm praying, and I'm like, all right. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to get out of my head and shut up.
And get lost.
Like that. Those thoughts were gone. I felt 100% better, and I've had not had to go back to my doctor and get my medications increased or anything. And actually, the next time I did go to my doctor, I told her about that, and she started crying because it turns out she's a pastor's kid. And she thought that that was just amazing, and it is absolutely, positively amazing, the power that God's spoken word has. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Because you realize that when we see a cross like the one we have hanging here, guess who died that day? Yes, he died. He rose again. Who really died? Satan did. God exposed him wide open. And he doesn't want us to know that. Philosophical debate of the ages. If a tree were to fall on an island where there were no inhabitants, does it make a sound? How many think it does? How many think it doesn't? Okay. Well, here's the argument against it. Sound can only come to you as you are there and the motion and the action and whatever is occurring goes through your inner canal and comes out in sound that you hear. Now, does it make noise? Of course it makes noise. I still believe it makes a sound because God created this earth to have sound, didn't he? When God created the world and he said, let there be light, to whom was he talking? Man wasn't created till the sixth day. Who's he talking to? Huh? He was talking, and his authority, the creation he was bringing forth, responded to it. That's why when Jesus spoke to the sea, it answered him, and it obeyed him, because creation has always been created to respond to the Creator. Man is the only one that argues with him. You know that? We're the only one that argues. I've never seen a tree argue. I've seen them bend and do a few funny things, but I've never seen them argue. Does sound need to occur for it to come into our canal, our ear, so it changes our life? Absolutely. That's why not only should we read it audibly in the Word of God, in the Church of God, but also in our homes and in our lives. Quote it verbally. Well, you got to learn it first, but then quote it verbally. There's an authority that comes with the uttering of the Word of God. There really is. I love it. I mean, you listen to it because this way you're reading it, you're hearing it, and you're saying it. You're putting it all together, what God intended. Creation. The Bible said in Genesis, the Spirit was moving over the face of the waters. Do you know why he was moving over the face of the waters? Because water is the tool of creation. It's the thing he used. He divided the waters from the waters. He created our bodies. Majority of it is water, right? The Holy Spirit was moving over the face of the water, and that Hebrew word is rachav. And it means to relax, and it means to hover over, almost like a parent. It means to relax. Did you know that you can't really receive from God until you really relax? Until there's a peace in your heart? Otherwise, we're like this. And yeah, it's not that God can't, but it's that we're not the best receptor until we relax and have the peace of God. That comes through the working of the Holy Spirit as he hovers over us and says, you belong to me. You are my child. I will work that work, whether you're in the car or wherever you are. I will do that work. And the Bible said, God said, let there be light. The word said in the Hebrew is amar, and it means to utter or say. So we know God spoke when he said, let there be light. He didn't just think it. You know, there's philosophy going around that if you think it, you can change it. No, you say it. And you make sure what you say is biblical. There's a lot of philosophies that want us to think good thoughts or want us to think an image and then make it happen. We're not the creator. The word is the creator. And when we allow this word to get into our soul, it's the same as when God said, let there be light, because that light will be a seed that goes into us and bring forth his creative work. And if you know anything about creative work, it's something that has never existed before. God wants to do unique things in each of us that have never been seen before. We're not clones of someone else. God wants to do his work uniquely in each of us. Isn't that fabulous? That's why we need to look to him, not to look. You know, there's a lot of people that, I remember when I was going to go to Bible school, and somebody said, well, why don't you want to go to this one over here? And I said, because I don't want to be a clone of the people that are leading it. I have no interest in letting them be my guide and them being my visual for what I'm supposed to be. I want to be who Jesus wants me to be. And I never allowed someone else to get in the way of that. Great scripture, the word spoken in Revelation. The Bible says here, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. The word prophecy is a word that means what is to come. Okay, blessed is the one who reads the words. Now, how about the writer? How blessed was he? Would you have considered John the Apostle blessed? Exiled to Patmos? Under Domitian? Do you know Domitian, his brother, was the ruler at the time? Mount Vesuvius blew its cork and buried Pompeii and Herculaneum. This was a man they talked about that in his young life, he was living toward the end of Nero's life. Imagine how horrible that would have been. His influence was Nero, who was a horrible person. And yet God uses Domitian here to get John to Patmos, where what happens? The glorious revelation opens up to him, and he sees his Savior. Now remember, John knew Jesus probably better than anyone else because he sat and listened to him. And when he saw the vision, the white hair, or as we call it, snow on the roof, and he saw the feet as though they were in a fire, he saw the one he thought he left behind, but he didn't really, did he? Because Jesus went on ahead of him. I mean, he must have just been out of his shorts. You know what I mean? to have seen Jesus in reality, in his glory. What a blessing for him to be able to have seen that. But the Bible says, blessed is the one who reads it out loud. Blessed is the Greek word makarios. It means to be blessed and happy. Apparently, Harvey and Marcella's dog is very blessed because his name is Happy. And this word comes from the word mak, which means to become long and extend the benefits. When we're talking about God's blessings and God blessing us, we're talking about the Lord providing all of the benefits for us. Unlike many health plans, etc., in this country and in this world, they're shrinking their benefit package, aren't they? Pretty soon it's going to be barely discernible. God's gets longer. God's gets better. If I asked Lil, for instance, how God has blessed her over the years, she will tell us, and she's told me many times, that it gets better and better and better. Because God builds on what he starts. And God's blessings and his benefits exceed anything we could ever imagine. We are to read the word out loud. The word read, anaginosko, is a wonderful word. It comes from two words, ana, which means up and again, and ginosko means to personally know through experience that word. We're not supposed to just intellectually know the Bible. We are supposed to experientially know it, to have a deep, intimate relationship with the sovereign God. That's what the word means. And when you read it, you're not just reading words. You're getting to know the Master, even though you don't fully understand it. And he's revealing himself to you. You've heard me say before, we not only read it, but it reads us. He knows how to read us. Personally know him. The idea is that a public or vocal reading enables us to reappreciate what was conveyed or experienced by the original author. A couple of the songs we sang this morning talked about the echo, which I preached on before, the word sound. What it means is that God is the original voice and we're the echo. If you took your ear, don't take it off your body, but if you took it and you put it sideways, there's a valley in there, there's ledges to contain sound. God created our ears phenomenally, didn't he? So we could hear him, and not one word would be lost. God wants us to read the words of the prophecy. It changes your eyes, and the minute you read it, by the way, with your eyes, it becomes that negative in the camera. It's a picture you can't get rid of, but you don't want to get rid of it, do you? You want it to be deep inside your life. Secondly, it tells us not only read it, but hear it. The Greek word akoua means to hear, listen, and to be heard. Comprehend by listening and responding to it. I grew up in a house where my mom would say stuff and I'd go, yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard her, but I wasn't listening. I know I wasn't. How do I know? Because later she'd ask me. I had no idea. I heard chatter, but I wasn't paying attention to it. We can hear God's word, but we need to listen to it. Listen. Pay attention. You know that inside the word hear is the word ear. God intended us to hear what he has to say. But you can only hear what's spoken, right? That's how you hear it. It has to be spoken. What does the Bible say in Romans? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes by hearing. That's why when you testify, yes, we give our testimony, tell them what Jesus has done for us. Quote the scripture. That's the life giver. That will change the hearts. And when you're hearing, one of the wonderful things God does is in your inner ear is balance. God gives us balance for the word. How many need balance? We all do. Do you know there's a lot of people, and I'm talking about fundamental Christians who know the scripture, it's easy to get off balance on one topic or whatever it is. We need to always put the other foot down, get it steady, and keep a balance in the Word of God, no matter what the issue might be. We need to hear it. I've talked before about Juneteenth, when those in the South that had not heard that the slaves were free, people went door to door to tell them. They had to verbally hear it in order to know it. Maybe they didn't pay attention to the statements if they were sent out, but nonetheless, they had to verbally tell them. It has to be verbally stated, and we have to hear it. They can't hear it unless we say it. How will they hear unless what? A preacher is sent. How are they going to hear it? They're not. It demands an echo. We are the echo. Thank God for that. I don't know about you, but I'm glad it doesn't all depend on me. I'm glad he's the original sound. I'm glad he's the message, and it's up to him. So we need to read it, we need to hear it, and then the Bible says we need to keep it. Means it needs to be a treasure in our hearts. The Bible in Psalm 119 also says, "And I will hide thy word in my heart, that I not sin against thee." We need to hide it in there. This Greek word, tere, means to keep, to guard, to observe, and to watch over. And it really means to watch over with all intent. If you, which maybe some of you do, but if you had great values, great valuables in your house, would you leave them on the refrigerator? Would you leave them on your kitchen table? No, no, no. You maybe wouldn't even tell your family. But nonetheless, you would protect them. Your eye would be upon them. We're so used to the Bible, because we all have about 5 or 6 translations, we don't realize the treasure it is. If you were in one of those countries where they get killed for reading it or presenting it, you'd know how real treasure it is. He says, keep it. Guard it. Guard it so it doesn't get broken up in your life, so it doesn't get off balance, so it doesn't begin to say what it didn't intend to say. And it says, keep those things written in your heart. The Greek word grapho means to write, but it also includes the content of the writing. It's important to have the content of writing. How many get insurance on certain things in your life, in your home, that are very valuable? They will tell you, put a list, put a content of what's valuable so we can keep it and we know what you have valuable in your home. It's a matter of keeping it under guard. It's precious to you, but it's also identified. Occasionally, it wouldn't be a bad idea just to go over the scripture in your own life and go, what's valuable to me? I take my salvation for granted, maybe. I take the Holy Spirit for granted, maybe. Let's recheck the contents of the value and the treasure God has given us. How many remember the story of the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the tabernacle? And you know, that was a wonderful chest that had something inside it, had a couple things in there, remember? It had the tablets of stone, it had the Ten Commandments. Do you know what we need to guard in our life? We need to keep the Ten Commandments and the structure of God's honor and the way we treat people and treat this society. We need to keep that in our life. People are throwing it out left and right, saying it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. God didn't put an expiration date on the Ten Commandments. All he said was, you're not getting saved by him. They still belong in every society because they protect us, do they not? That's what they're supposed to do. Also in the Ark of the Covenant was the pot of manna. Daily they were fed. Daily they were fed by God. We need to keep the word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. It is a treasure. It is fabulous. It is a jewel of great price. Thirdly, in there was Aaron's rod that budded. the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have a religion without the resurrection, you've got nothing. That's why there's no other belief system that will change your life. It'll change your head. It might even give you a warm fuzzy. It will not take you into the eternal work of God. Only the resurrection will. It's distinctive. And I'm grateful God has given it through his word. Aren't you glad? From the day of the resurrection, the earth sprouted forth. It had greater joy because its creator came back. Don't you think the creation, as in the days of the original creation, when Jesus resurrected, don't you think it woke up and it smelled better that day? Don't you think the colors were brighter? I do. Absolutely. When God shows up, the whole scene changes. Thank God. Now, why is it important to keep, to read, and to hear the word of God? Because the time is near. The Greek word kairos means a fitting season and an opportune time, an opportunity of time. It is a season. God made this earth for seasons. That's how come we know God's a God of order, because it's in a certain season. We're in a season where it's coming to an end. Right? You can see it. You can sense it. God said it. This word comes from the word kara, which means head. It means things are coming to a head. It's all building up to one thing. What are you going to take with you? The word of God in your heart. That's what you're taking, because that's eternal. Everything else we're leaving behind, unfortunately for some of us. But the word, thy word forever is settled in heaven. I wonder, you know, this is just a thought. It doesn't mean anything. It's just interesting to me that when we're in the presence of God and the Lord shows us how much of the word we have in us. Wouldn't that be interesting? And I know when you leave here, you're going to run right home and read the scripture. But how much of it is funneled through us? How much of it is real to us? It is the creative work of God. What is the word? The Bible calls it the washing of the water. That is the tool of creation. It is the tool of our life, the water of God's word. Why? Because the time is near. The word near, anguos, means in a place and a time. It's imminent. The time is near. God doesn't dwell in time, but he controls it. And the ticker is certainly there. How many are willing to, in your personal life, start reading the scripture out loud? You'll find a big difference in your life. You'll sense the authority of the Creator. Remember, we're the echo. He's the original sound. It makes a significant difference. Read it. Hear it. And keep it as the treasure of your heart. There's nothing more important, because it's that word that brings life. And it is the same as when you read the Bible and I read it. It's the same as God saying, let there be light. Let there be hope. Let there be strength. Let there be wisdom. It's the same. Because God hasn't changed. That is the glory of the word of God. And that word continues to touch us and continues to do its work in our life. And Maria Steele wants to come up and share something with you.
It's good to be back here with everyone. Been gone so much that it's just wonderful to be back with my church family. Before I share what I want to share, I want to actually share a couple things that I heard. Pastor Gene mentioned the fact that if God were to show us how much we had read, how many of us would go home and read the scriptures. Well, I heard a pastor once preach a sermon. I just heard it a few days ago, and he said, if God were to give you a year for of your life, for every page of scripture that you had read, you'd be going buying a coffin today. Because we're not, you know, for me at least, I know for my personal life, I'm not good at reading the scriptures. So that was a very, very good point that he made. And then another thing he shared was about a woman that he went to visit. She was dying. And the man who took him said, I want you to see something. And on her bedside, there lay a worn, tattered Bible. And he opened it up, and inside the Bible, the woman had written in the margins as many words as God had written in his Bible. And he said, on the bookshelf, there were 10 other Bibles identical to that same one. So the Word of God is powerful, and it's powerful in our lives. I also believe in the power of the spoken word, and that speaking it is power. Pastor Gene has said that when you speak something, it brings in the light. Darkness is dispelled. So this morning, I want to do something I've never done before. But today, I want to publicly confess my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord and Savior of my life, and I am thankful for that. I don't know where I'd be today if it weren't for him. And I also want to share something else. Matthew 10, 33 and 34 say, but whosoever shall deny me before men, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And today I want to give you all an opportunity to do two things. One, if you want to publicly profess the Lord is your life, please stand wherever you are. And then there may be coming a day where we'll have to make a choice. Someone's going to say to us, you either renounce your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ or you die for your faith. And in my life today, I'm making that commitment to never renounce Christ because he is Lord of my life, and without him, I'm nothing. And so any of you who are willing to make that stand, if you're not sure, yeah, that's okay. But if you're willing to do that today, come forward and stand before the altar. And then I want us to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Father, we thank you today, Lord, because when we speak your word, when we stand up for you, we're taking our foot and crushing the enemy. He died on that cross. He is exposed. He is open. He is totally, totally weakened and done. He is finished. And I pray for any hold that he has on any mind, any heart, any situation, and any life, Father, that it would be broken under the authority of your word, of your purpose, and your calling in every life. Lord Jesus, may you reign supremely in each life, Lord, in this church, through your people, Father, in the name of Jesus, that no matter what, God, if we're not willing to die for you, we're probably not truly willing to live for you either. God, may we live. Oh, God, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let us live your life, not ours. Oh, God, it's your life that brings life. Thank you for Maria. Thank you, Lord, for her desire today. Lord Jesus, to set a standard and set an example in her church family. Mighty God, may this day be a moment in many lives where there's a change for the light of Christ, for the word of God, for the glory of God, and may the enemy run in shame. Oh God, when we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. May it matter for eternity. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody sense an impression to give a praise to the Lord before we close in worship?
Well, I've been to church today.
Amen.
God is faithful. And
amen. That's right. Amen.
What a blessing Maria is.
Yes.